night is the yahrzeit from the Tzelzer Shiva or Gifter. I was zeichet to hear shir for him for a few years. I can't say I was zeichet to be a Talmud. I have chaverim who were Talmidim. To be a Talmud is a tremendous appellation to be called a Talmud. Rashiva told us a story that when he started to tell Stone in 1977, Elul and Tovshin Lamed Ches, so they went after Elul. They went to the Cheshvan of Tovshin Lamed Ches. So they were there for 2 years, and then the Rashiva had to come back. But before the Rashiva came back, because the Rashiva Baruch Sorotzin was nifter, it was started with 14 Talmidim and 5 Yungalite. Well, usually it was 20 people. Then a few Israeli Bachram joined, etc. It was developing. But it was the Rashiva Shir, obviously a young Bachar, it was a first year Bachar. Israeli Bachar is not holding by hearing the Shir from Gifter. But those people wanted the Zeicha that they should be part of the Shir Gifter. So they came to him that they should start a Shir, Shir Aleph under the Rashiva. So Shiva hired a Rebbe. And he had a Rebbe ready to go for the coming year. But these are Israeli Bachar. He says, the Maisa, the older Bachar, are all Americans. And the Israeli Bachar needs an older Bachar. He needs a Bachar who he can relate to. An older Bachar was an Israeli. So he went to Chevron Yeshiva. So Simcha Zisabroidi, Zichel Levracha. And he asked him simply, he wants to borrow. He wants to borrow 10 Bachar for a year to get the Yeshiva established. So Simcha Zisal said to him that, why are you coming to me? Because you have yeshiva, 500 bachrim. Says, the Lulash came bachrim, you don't want bachrim, you want talmidim. Says, I'm not sure if I have 10 talmidim, but the ones I have, I'll lend you. And that's what Simcha Zisal told him. My addendum to the story, my cynical American addendum to the story, is only people who will listen to the Rashiva to go to this little yeshiva in Tellstone and join this rabbi Gifter would be the Talmidim, because the Bachram, hey, you tell me where to go. A Talmud, Epshe would listen to what his rabbi told him to do. I have a Chavar as a Talmud. I have a Chavar as a Talmud, which means I can call him up and ask him what a Rashiva say on Sugya X, whatever he heard from Rashiva, he'll tell you what he said. That's a Talmud. Bavasar, Nadorim, Ksuvis, doesn't make a difference. Whatever sugya it is, he'll tell me what the Rashiva said on the sugya. That's what it means, a Talmud. So I'm not a Talmud. But the Rashiva was, I was able to at least to see something from Rashiva. So I was clearing, and tells the Derech is on the yahrzeit that they say over a shir from the Rashiva. They say over his Torah. That's the greatest zecher of the person is his Torah. So it's clear maybe I would say over a shmuz from the Rashiva. But then I thought maybe that sometimes the bigger Ashpa is just talking about the Zichronis that we saw about the Rashiva, that maybe that's a bigger oof to that than saying over a Machshava. But that being said, I would be mocked them with the Machshava. The Rashiva used to say a lot of times. There's a Gemara in Shabbos. Gemara says that Torah is samachayim the maiminim bo, the samamobis the masbilim bo. So Torah is a samamobis. You're talking Torah is a samamobis. How can Torah be a samamobis if you're masbilim bo? If you're maiminim bo, you do it with the right. With lashon go, you're going to the right as opposed to the left. You're going to the right. Then it's a samachayim. You go to the left, it's a samamobis. So the Gaon says such a nusach. The Gaon, the Vilna Gaon says that in Derech Eliyahu and Parshas Hazino, Yarev Kamotar Lichi Kivivim Ali Desha. It says the lashon. The Torah says the lashon. The Torah is like rain. Rain. The nature of rain. It makes things grow. What does it make grow? Whatever is there. So if there are meters rows in the person, you pour rain on top of it, out grows Midas Ro'os. He says, that's why the Gaon says, that's why a person has to learn Musar, to make sure that he has the midos are proper. Therefore, the Torah will cause to grow midos tovus. But if you don't do that, so the person will use the Torah to become a Baal Gaiva. He'll use the Torah to excuse his actions. He can do many things. You can do many things with the Torah. So the Mor says that you're talking, it's very possible the Torah is Sama Movis. So what decides whether the Torah is Sama Chayim or Sama Movis? So Rashi says, what does it mean, Lama Minim Bo? Rashi says, Trudim Bekol Kerchem Ladas Soida. If they put every fiber of their being to understand what is the secret of this point of Chazal, what exactly is, what is it saying over here? And they use all of their Kerchis, like the right hand, which is the powerful hand of the person. They put their whole mahus, their whole being, and understanding what is it saying, till they get it clear, that Torah is a Samachayim. And l'chara, that means that a person learns, but doesn't put his whole being and his whole mahus, l'adas soida, trudim akal kechom l'adas soida, it's called a masmilim boros, it's a samamovis. So Rishim used to say in Nusach, the Mishnah says in Ovis, who are your Omer? He used to say it over, I think, I don't remember who he said it over from, maybe it's from the Kotzker, I don't remember who he said it over from. I think the matter Shmuel says it, that who are your Omer doesn't mean that the person said the words. Who, the being of the person, who are your Omer, would say the following. You would see him, you would hear this mimer. When you look at the person, you would see it. Who, the mensch, who are your Omer, would say. So when we looked at Rashi, who are your Omer? This vort that he would say, this is what his being said. Rashi learned in Beis Medrash, both storim. You know, he had officially had an office in the Beis Medrash building, which for him it functioned. He put on his towels and tefillin in that office, and that was the total function of the office for him. Milan and Beis Medrash. He would sit in the front, he would learn. He learned the Chavrusi. He would sit down at the beginning of the Seder at 9:30. He would not move till the end of the Seder. Physically, he wouldn't move. Not only physically wouldn't move, he wouldn't take his head out of the Gemara. He, you know, we have Recifus, you know, Recifus, 6 hours. He did that every day. It was Erev Shabbos, he was learning with the Chavrusi. So officially, the Seder over ends 1:30. So he didn't always stop at 1:30. He stopped. When he was finished, he stopped. So it was in the winter. Instead of ending 1:30 on Friday, it ends 12:30. So he's sitting with his chavrusa. It's 12:30. It's 1 o'clock. It's 1:30. It's 2 o'clock. 2:15. He says, "It's come on, still in Beis Medrash. It's so quiet in Beis Medrash. What happened?" It's been an hour and 45 minutes that there's been nobody else in Beis Medrash besides him and his chavrusa. An hour and 45 minutes. He says, "What's so quiet in Beis Medrash?" And he says, "Ah." He looks at the clock. He says, "It's Spanish daughter." He said, nee, it's the Cheder of Shabbos. Like Pasha, until he got back to his world. When you would ask Rashi Kasha middle of Shir, so Shiva said to him, he said, before he went to Telstone, he said Pilpul. The Shir was a little more of Pilpul style. Pilpul. I remember Shiva would let us borrow his notes, you know. He says, his notes are very precious to him, but, you know, but Tama wants to learn, borrow the notes, he let us borrow the notes. Physically, he would let us take the notebook out of his house and use it. So I remember once he said a shir, a sugi nevamis, the first parak of Harel history. So I wanted to see the notes. The shir was I was the younger shir then. It was a few times a year he would say for the younger shir. So it was a little watered down. Mustama, an hour shir. Shir was an hour and a half. This was an hour shir. So I looked at the shir, and I'm looking through the page. I can't find the shir. I can't find what he said. So finally, as I'm going through the, you know, he would number his shir step by step. So it was Ois Aleph, Ois Beis. I think it was Ois Chav Zayin. Ah, that's the part of the shir that he said for us. Till Ois Lamed. The shir was 41 Oisius. The whole shir written was 41 oisius, and the hour shir that he said to us was three oisius in the written notes. The night before he would say shir, he would not sleep. because he want to make sure that what he's saying is emes. Truly, mekol kerchol l'dasar. You could walk by his house and you would see him walking back and forth the whole night, saying over to Shir to see if it's emes. The story which I did not witness, but there's a story which was like Yeduah Mefursim in the city in yeshiva. The one time a bachur asked him a kasha what he was saying in the shir. He thought about it. He says, "Du bist richtig." He shuts the gemara and says, "Shir is that we found the emes. The shir is over." He walked off. That was the end of the shir. So Rashi one time said over the story, he says, "You think I couldn't have given him an answer which would have satisfied him? I could have. That's not the goal. The goal is emes. The goal is to know what the Bereshim said. And we found out what the Bereshim said. So what are we going right there for?" But when you would ask him a kasha in the middle of shir, he was so focused on what he was saying, he wouldn't hear you. He would not hear that you were asking a question. So you would have to like ask two or three times till finally you say, "Yeah, like something, did somebody say something?" Then you would repeat your question a fourth time. Meanwhile, before you did that, he'd give you this look, which was like, "You interrupted my thought process. It better be for a very good reason that you interrupted my thought process." That was the look. Yeah? It was like, "Okay, I'm sorry." And then, if it wasn't a good reason that you interrupted the thought process, he would tell you that it wasn't a good reason that you interrupted your thought process. Shall we say? Okay. In no uncertain terms, he would tell you that was not worth it. The Maisa that she was learning Beis Medrash, Tom was standing there by, and he knocked over his shender, like these type of shenders. You know, you take that shender, hit it onto the floor, imagine the sound. So he's mortified that he was interrupting what Yeshiva was learning. Yeshiva didn't look up, Yeshiva didn't move, Yeshiva didn't flinch, Yeshiva didn't notice. He didn't notice. He was learning. Like, he could sit and learn. There's like, in the house, people moving in. He did not notice. He was totally immersed in learning. But it was true that Mikol Kerecha Lo Da'asoida. He pushed, was working to see if it was emes. He had a thing about answering the Rekhavegra's kashas. So a lot of people have a thing about answering Rekhavegra's kashas. Rekhavegra asked, you know, kashas. I mean, she used to point out that Rekhavegra has sarachians. They sarachian godels. They sarachian godels of Shem Yarenai. Right? It says it's madregas of how shredder kasha was. So people are like, "I can answer Rekhavegra's kasha." That's Kabbalistic. The Shiva's thought process was different. The Shiva's respect for Kabbalah, for the Ksois, was the Ksois said something, Kabbalah said something, "You're not smart enough to answer his kasha." So once this year, he said over Kabbalah's kasha, he said a teretz. He says, "But the Kabbalah didn't say it, so it can't be true." So he spent the next hour and a half explaining why the kasha, the teretz, is not right. Instead of like, you're saying, "Gvaldik, I answered Kabbalah's kasha," says it can't be emes, and the goal is emes, not the hano. I answer Kabbalah's kasha. Says I'm not foolish enough to believe that I figured out the teretz of Kabbalah's kasha. So I have to, but I don't know why it's not right. It's not right. See, he butchered for an hour and a half. He butchered back and forth. Maybe this is the problem, but that can't be the problem because this. Maybe this is the problem. No, but maybe this is the problem. An hour and a half he spent from the why is teretz is no good. That's not a normal shir that you hear by Rosh Hashivas. The shir is, and this is not shver, and this is not shver, and this is not shver. Like, it could have been the same shir, right? That wasn't the goal. The goal was to know the emes. So if the goal is to know the emes, I'm not stupid enough to think that I can answer Gregor's akasha. So why is it not true? You can't learn like that. There's one day Rashiva walked in to shir, and Pasha, he looked haggard. I mean, Amish looked haggard. He looked like wiped out. So he asked, you know, I think it was before shir, I asked, "Is, you know, Rashiva okay?" Whatever. He says, "Kanishka shlof and nechta manach. I didn't sleep last night." For vos, had the cash of the Rashba. When we came in Shlofen as a Rashba, we came in Shlofen. Says the Rashba was in jail. I had a kasha from the Rashba. It was like the Rashba was in jail. You have to save the Rashba. How can you go to sleep? You have to save the Rashba. I worked the whole night to try to come up with terrors to save the Rashba. I couldn't sleep. Rashi one time said a different story. He says, and I mentioned this story I mentioned over here. He says, look how lowly we are. Look how low lives we are. And he says, the Friedrich Yoderis, who had a grace of mention, they were big people. So the marshal he gave was Rabbi Yerogler. Rabbi Yerogler had a health condition. And the doctor said he has to sleep at night time. So Rabbi Yerogler, would turn off his mind and go to sleep. I can't do it. I get into bed. I know I have to sleep. The doctor tells me I have to sleep. And the whole night I'm thinking and learning. I can't control my mind. Look how lowly we are. We can't control our minds. Like that was this problem. I go to bed and I turn off my mind. I'm like the really regular. But he could think Akasha the whole night. He could butcher the kasha the whole night. And that, forget about walking back and forth. And then the Rashi would say, he says, Nebuch, you see such small people like me. I saw grace, imagine, I saw my rebellion. Like, you're like, what did he see already? So one time he said a comment, he said that his reshiva, the Hashem Yom Kamdama, the tells a Rav, Rav Bloch, he says, you walked by his house every night of the week. He didn't sleep. He said, every night of the week, you see him standing by his shtender, and he would stand straight by his shtender, not move, the whole night, every night. He would learn through the night. So one time he went over to the Rishi, he was just, Americana Makutsev that I was, the Rishi, Lidl Shabbachim wouldn't ask the Rishi was such a question. Americana Makutsev. So he says, I walk by the Shiva's house at 2 o'clock in the morning, I see the Shiva standing and learning. I get up early in the morning, I walk by at 4 o'clock in the morning, I see the Shiva standing and learning. I walk by 7 o'clock in the morning, I see the Shiva standing and learning. Then Shlop to the Shiva. So he says, don't be choshing me for Hasamad. I have insomnia. So I should lie in bed back and forth. So I have a Seder every night, I learn Rambam from 12 to 7, I learn Rambam. Thursday nights, he used to say a shir for the Bokhram. They had a shir, which he used to say, which went from 12 till 7. So obviously that was for the Mitzuyonim in Yeshiva. It was one long pilpul, one long thought, which went from 12, started at 12 o'clock and finished at 7 o'clock in the morning. That was the Thursday night shir. Aga, Ramoto Pagramati, came to Yeshiva. He was a young boy, he had never really learned before. Within 2 years, he was in that shir. He was, I got a picture of who Ramoto Pogromotsky was. He was holding the shir that you could work through the whole night with the shir. When the shir would talk about learning, I don't talk about learning enough, my shmuzin. I don't. And it's a little bit reactionary because I feel there's many other things you have to talk about in the shuzim. Because in my shuzim and yeshiva, we didn't get that. In my shuzim and yeshiva, the shuzim were about two things. They were about davening and about learning. The yeshiva or gifter would start talking about whatever he was talking about. By the time he was finished, the shuzim was about learning. I don't care what he started with. It didn't make a difference. By the time he was finished, the shuzim was about learning. That's where it ended up. And he would talk about the jam from Torah, the song of Torah, the orchestra from Torah, the orchestra of Torah, the gachabriya netach Torah. And that's only that we do. I mean, the shmuz. They took turns. Rashi Rav Kaim would say 1 week, Rashi Rav Gifter would say the other week. So Rashi Rav Gifter was almost guaranteed that it was. I mean, he talked about Amunah sometimes also, but still was about it was about Torah. Rashi Rav Kaim a lot of times would talk about davening. So those were the two shmuzim, So I. It's wrong on me, but sometimes but every shmuz they say mice with a hutner that Reb Aaron Cutler's at Sal, Reb Aaron, when he would say the word Torah, his whole body would light up. Just saying the word Torah, his whole body would light up. So Rav Huttner caught that, and he enjoyed that. So whenever he would talk to Rav Aaron, he would always move the conversation to make sure that Rav Aaron would say the word Torah a lot in the conversation. And each time he would say, Ah, Torah! Every time he would say it, the whole being would like become alive. And Rav Huttner enjoyed it. So he would, you know, not for the fun, not like he enjoyed the seeing it. It was beautiful to see. So he would make sure that the conversation, Rav Aaron would kept saying, you know, kept saying the word Torah in the conversation. But Rav Shiva, it's like, the only thing he didn't talk about was talking about Torah, because he'd rather talk in Torah than about Torah. Right? Like, why should we talk about learning? Let's talk and learning. Like, Rebbetzin said that, you know, Shiva was a phenomenal darshan. I mean, the phenomenal darshan, in both in English and in Yiddish. He had a phenomenally rich Yiddish. And he could speak in full Yiddish without, you know, throwing in all these English words because he don't know how to say it in Yiddish. You know, he grew up in Yiddish, not in like the Americanish Yiddish that we have. You know, he grew up in a real Yiddish. When he would say shmooze in Yiddish, it was in Yiddish. But he was a big redner and a small talker. That was her nusach. He didn't shmooze. He would talk a learning, but the shmoozing. Shmuzing, it's Gehem Chayenu. Says you believe it? You really believe it? Right? Gehem Chayenu. You really believe it? It's our life. It's our lifeblood. So it means the person is about you. He's the Ritzayach. The person comes over to you in the middle of the center. He starts cutting you, like you bleed a little bit. You say, "What are you doing? You're taking a part of my life. You're bleeding me." He does it to himself. He's like hurting himself. Right. The person comes and walks over to you in the middle of the Seder, starts talking to you. He's a Ritzayach. He's cutting you and pulling blood out of you. That's how Rishiva. Do you believe the words or not? Do you believe it or not? If you believe it, he's a Ritzayach. Yeshiva went to. Used to have to go fundraising for Yeshiva. He wasn't a big. He says, once as a person came to him and he said, you know, he spoke by a term of Sarah convention, so. So the Targum was entered for, you know, people teach elementary schools. He says, you're embarrassed. He says, I want you to know, I'm a Malamed. I'm a Malamed. Roma Lamdim, says the Bershon. Rokhan Beloshon used to write, sign his letters, Hamalamed Bivaloshon. Hamalamed Bivaloshon. He's a Malamed. He says, the Bershon is a Malamed. Hamalamed Terelokolamo Yisrael. Bershon is a Malamed. He teaches Klal Yisrael. We're Mazakh to be Malamed. We teach Torah. He says, Rosh Hashiva? Rosh Hashiva means you have to go raise get money. Zadishkin Rosh Hashiva, don't become Rosh Hashiva. You'll be busy Bittul Torah raising money. So Nebuchadnezzar, he was kvetching about the fact that he had to go schlep. See, once he used to go every year to Mexico City for many years. So there was a yid over there, Gevir Shayid, that he tried to meet with to raise money, to speak to him about money for Yeshiva. So he calls up and says he's not available. It's, you know, it's after morning is not available. Afternoon is not available. Evening is not available. Early morning, he's traveling time. He's not available. So, what's going on? He says, you know, you're right over here. It's not the workday yet. But, you know, I'm in business. So in Paris already, it's the workday. It's, you know, 5 o'clock, by me, 5 o'clock in the morning. It's already 9 o'clock in the morning in Paris. 10 o'clock, you know, 5 o'clock. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. It's already 10 o'clock over there, whatever. It's a 6-hour difference. So, hey, you got to be big. You got to be in the business. She says, I don't understand. I went to visit your house. I saw you have this gorgeous mansion. Every time I come to speak to you, you're in the office. You're in the business office. You're not at home. I says, what's the purpose of the mansion? He says, the mansion, that's for my wife and my kids. I says, He said to me, the conversation was in Yiddish. He says, Rabbi, if you want to be successful in business, you have to put your whole being into the business. So I don't know how much money he got out of the person. I don't know. But that line, he got a lot of mileage out of that line. He says, you say every morning, La soik v'divrei ser. Torah is a business. It's an ASIC. You want to be successful in the business, you're going to be successful in the business. Borech ligin in the business. In the basic. It requires that you're going to ligin it. The Tosh Yeshiva did not allow Lemudei Chol the same time a bracha was in Yeshiva. Now, it wasn't that the Yeshiva was against Lemudei Chol, because uniquely, I think there was amongst many of the Yeshivas, the Yeshiva sent all of their daughters to college. All the Rebbetzins had college degrees. So they're against college, they beshit, that's a horrible thing. So how do they send their daughters to college? They have nothing against college. So Shiva one time said, he says, you know, there's tremendous respect from the Harvard Medical School to the Harvard Engineering School. But a person is not allowed to attend both at the same time. If you want to be successful in the medical school, they say, sorry, sir, you can't be busy with something else. And if you want to be doing something else, you don't belong here. This is a place for people which are serious about medical school. If you want to be serious about learning, you have to be serious about learning. At some point in your life, you might do something else. But right now, if you want to be successful, you have to be serious about learning. And that Nakuda Pilpul versus Pshat is the Shun of the Gazach. You know, that the Shiva, before he went there to Israel, the Mahalach of the Shir was Pilpul. No, I don't mean sophistries, but I mean but handling the different shitas and swaras and the back and the forth, etc. He went to Eretz Yisrael and decided that sitting in Eretz Yisrael, he says he had a revelation. The Iker is the Pshat. We have to work on Pshat. So he came back, he stopped saying Ashir and Pilpul. All of those notes sat, they just sat. Bechal, whenever he learned the Sugya, even if he was learning it, Pilpul, whatever. He never used his old notes. He never used his old notes. He would always start again from fresh. Like, I'm starting the sugya brand new, and I'm thinking about it again, because maybe now I'll understand it differently. I'll get chap in the kura I didn't chap before. But this nakuda that he says, he felt that it's important to focus on the pshat, the shir was on pshat, that was it from then on. He said a blot shir. And the blot shir, many times he didn't explain, sometimes he would come to the shir. Shir was twice a week, an hour and a half. And he would read the Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos, and translate it. That was the shir. He's explaining pshat in the Gemara. And there's guys who come to the shir, like, this is a shir. Like, what did he say? He didn't say anything. He wouldn't say kashas. And once in a while he would say kashas. But sometimes there would be a shir, he did not say anything at all. He would just read and teach Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos. Pshat! So I remember I was already getting a little bit, ruggled to the shir. And so some of the younger said, this is boring. Like if this, I came to shir, he says, I don't know about you. I says, you understand, if you prepare the sugya well, you understand the problems that are in the sugya, you really prepare the sugya with your kishkas, and you work through the chart that there's problems A, B, C, D, E, F, G in the sugya. You understand the Rashiva tights the Rashi, he frampered all your kashas. He frampered all of your kashas. But he didn't say it out. He just did it. Ben Lair the Rashi. Vosh date Rashi. Oh, Rashi says this. That's it. He didn't make any fanfare about it. He just did it. So already I got a little bit older, So we had two problems. The problem is the Shir was only useful if you were holding with him or ahead of him. But he would cover about a blot plus per Shir. So he's doing two blot a week for a Seder. And he was complaining that we're going too slow. That was also part of the issue. We're going too slow. And he wasn't a fan of Bekiyas. So one time a person said, oh, the Shiva Haltach from Bekiyas. He says, well, what's made this Bekiyas? And laying on a cup? He came laying on a cup. How can you learn without thinking? That's not learning without thinking. That's not called learning. He says, so what does Shiva mean? He says, learn to think fast. I mean, the Sheba wasn't an Amoritz. He learned quickly. I once was speaking to him, and it was an Erevin. I was learning Erevin, and I went to Sheba to speak to him. So I asked him a kasha. He says, the Ben Yonason Frechtel Tlakasha, the back of the Erevin, the pierce around the rift is the Ben Yonason. So Ben Yonason asked the Kasha. Then he gave a krechs, and he says, Erevin doesn't have mazel by me. It was in the house, so it was conversations. Shiva's persona in Beis Medrash, in the house. The house, he was warm, he was open, he was inviting. In the Beis Medrash, he was fire. He was pushing fire. He's on fire learning Torah, the version of Torah. He's focused, he's on fire. And if you say something stupid, he would tell you in a voice which the whole Beis Medrash would hear that he told you that. In the house, Eli Maitaira was Kenatan Freich. That was the house. So you can choose him a little bit, like, you know, what did Rashi mean? That the Erevin didn't have mazel by him? So he says, I learned the Erevin and tells. And since then, every time I try to learn Erevin, it didn't work out. So he's telling me right now, the last time I learned Erevin was in tells. So he says, when does Shiva learn Erevin and tells? It's not part of the cycle. So he said, Shiva was learning Baba Kam in the morning, and he finished with Baba Kam already. So he said, I learned Erevin in the afternoon. He says, I learned Baba Kam in the free. Erevin noch mitzug, und tomorrow by night. I was learning tomorrow at night time. I was learning Erevin in the afternoon. I was learning Baba Kam in the morning. That's quite a combination. So I asked him, how long does Shiva spend learning Erevin? He says, not 3 months. 3 months, second Seder, he finished Erevin. Well, he's learning Baba Kam in the morning and tomorrow at night time. And he's remembering Rabbeinu Yonderson's. That wasn't what he is, my friends. That's not called Bakiyas. That's called Amkis. He had a clor with every single detail. The Gemara Rashi Toises and the Rosh and the Rabbeinu Yonderson's. But how did he do it? Because he was totally immersed in Torah. But what made him immersed in Torah? Because he loved learning. The Pasha the Shiva loved somebody one time asked him, like, how does the Shiva remember everything? See, give different answers different times. One time he gave the following answer. He said, there's a maisa that there was there. The Chofetz Chaim said over that the Chofetz Chaim, and he was a young boy. There was an old yid in Radin. When this old yid was a little boy, the Tsar came through the city of Radin. Now Radin, you have to say Radin, the people in Radin used to describe Radin was that, you know, Adam Rishon, the Chazal, said they showed all of the map of the world to Radin. He showed all of the Gedolim in the world. He saw the Chofetz Chaim. And he showed the Chofetz Chaim, the Bershom showed Adam Rishon where Chofetz Chaim is going to live. He says, such a thing, you're going to put the Chofetz Chaim there? And then that spit came out Radin. It was so full of mud. And from Adam Rishon's spit, out came Radin. That's how the people in Radin used to describe Radin. It was a little dinky nothing. So the Tsar comes to Radin. That happened once in the history of Radin. Right, so there was this whole reception for the Tsar coming through the city of Radin. He said, this old yid could sit there and describe to you for hours every single detail of the Tsar coming through Radin, the arch they made for him, and the flowers, and the da 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 da. Why? Because it was chaviv to him. If Torah is chaviv to you, remember it. That was what he said one time. Different time he says, because when you learn, so you have to have three things in mind. So you have to think things in mind. That what you're learning right now is the only blot that there is in Shas is the blot that you're looking at right now. There's so many blot in Shas. Don't worry about the rest of Shas. Focus on this blot right now. All there is right now is this blot. Aleph. Beis, this is the last day of your life, your last opportunity to learn this blot of Gemara. And Gimel, you're the only person in the world who's learning right now. That's all you have to focus on. When you focus on that, you'll remember what you learned. Shiva used to quote over Ben Ramin Nahor. Ben Ramin Nahor, in the Sechtus Sedorim, the fourth parak, talks about the issue of a person. Can he teach, if he can't get an offer, is that person allowed to teach him Torah? Ben Ramin says, it's also, the Mishnah says, it's also. He says, I don't understand, Mitzvah Lava Haras didn't know. So there's no Hanah by Mitzvahs. He said, that's by mitzvah, not by Torah. Torah is lahenus nitno. The reason why it becomes part of your being, the reason why you absorb it, is because you have a gnaw from it. Nigle Tal is Hagdama. Rashi would say this over the Nigle Tal over to meet him to Sidrum. Right? So somebody one time told Nigle Tal, the Sachet Shavar, he told him, you're not getting a gnaw from your learning, you get scar for your learning, you enjoy it too much. That's not Torah lishma. He said, Arabah, that's Torah Lishma. Torah Lishma means that the person enjoys learning. But I pointed out that the Rishiva explained, enjoying learning doesn't mean because you're a brilliant person and you enjoy the mental gymnastics of learning. Like a person enjoys chess, he enjoys math. You know, a person enjoys puzzles. Says the person enjoys it because it's the words of the Kaddish Baruch Hu talking to you. And what can be more enjoyable than learning the words of your Creator talking to you? I mentioned that Rabbi Tzion Solomon said over that they had a bechina to get to learn about to become a Talmud by the Goyin, you had to learn Torah Lishma. And I was anyone came to learn about the Goyin, had to be a Talmud Chacham. It was a waste of time otherwise. You weren't tremendous Talmud Chacham. Like, what are you? You're not going to get anything out of here anyway. So that wasn't the issue. Everybody who came to learn about the Goyin as a Talmud was a phenomenal Goyin. But he wanted only the people who learned Torah Lishma. So how do you test if a person learns Torah Lishma? What's the test? How do you know if a person learned Torah Lishma? It's very simple. They had a very simple test. They took the person who was, they put him down on base medrash, and they said, learn the first pasuk of Divrei Yamim. We'll come back for you when we're ready. First pasuk of Divrei Yamim is three words, Adam, Sheis, Enosh. So you say the pasuk, Adam, Sheis, Enosh. Adam, Sheis, Enosh. Adam, Sheis, Enosh. Enosh, Sheis, Adam. Adam, Sheis, Enosh, you see, oh, it's a minute, now what? It's the words of Kadosh Baruch Hu talking. It's the same the words of Kadosh Baruch Hu. But Rashi put Divrei Yomim in Tanakh. Those words are important for us to know. It's the Rashi talking to me. We were sitting Friday night by the Rashiva one time. We used to have a Musa Chibur with him. We used to learn with him Nefesh HaChaim. So we're learning. Then the Rebbetzin brought in some cake. That was part of the standard. And one of the Bacham's eyes, you know, lit up with the cake, you know. Rebbetzin's cake. So he looked at it, he says, cake is geschmack. A Mishnah is geschmack. We can essen a Mishnah. You can eat a Mishnah. Then he proceeded to eat Elu Metziah Shaloi. He said the Mishnah, Elu Metziah Shaloi. Elu Metziah Shaloi. The Rishiva had a horus on Gantz Tanakh. Because it's the words of the Kaddish Baruch Hu talking. Why, how can you not learn it? He has written horus on Gantz Tanakh. How can you not learn it? You learn the words of Kaddish Baruch Hu. That's Nishkin Lomdis and Mises. Who said learning is about Lomdis and Mises? Learning is about hearing the words of the Kaddish Baruch Hu talking to you. Rashi would talk about time and time again that Torah is the voice of it's Torah is when you're learning Torah, you're hearing the voice of a Kaddish Baruch Hu from Har Sinai. The Evidin, the curl from the Mbarak from Sinai. You hear the sounds of Har Sinai, the Rosh Hashanah talking to you through the words of Torah. It's not an interesting subject. It's the voice of the Creator speaking to you about what life is about. What can be more interesting and exciting than that? That's how he looked at it. So what can be more interesting than that? Of course he was focused on it. He could sit and focus for hours. What's more exciting than that? Than hearing the word of your Creator. Last, it's getting late. One time, in the middle of Shira, Shiva said over a story, he said the story multiple times. The Maisa with the simple, the Altav and Kelim. The Altav and Kelim, once in a while, they seemed like used to disappear. The Altav and Kelim was, you know, he was a Bomoser, right? The Altav and Kelim was a tremendous lam. The Altav and Kelim had a Seder, a 9-hour Seder he used to learn every day. In the summer, because he didn't have to be mafsik for mincha. He would start at 9 o'clock in the morning, and he would not open. He would not leave his room till 9 hours later. He would learn straight for 9 hours without a half sick. Every day. He learned Rashba then. That was his. He used to learn Rashba then. That was his knees into the world of Torah was Rashba. He held the Rashba was the Sefer he used to learn. He used to learn. He had a Seder. He learned Rashba for 9 hours a day. He learned other things also during the day. That was just one Seder. That was the morning Seder. There was the afternoon Seder, night Seder, you know. But that was the morning Seder. And he wasn't mafsik that for anything because he was never learning. The Maisa once a big gvir came and he wanted to speak to him. They told him he had a chop rhyme because he shuts the door at 9 o'clock. He says, hey, don't worry, I'll get in. So after 9:05, he knocks on the door and there's no answer. He knocks a little louder, there's no answer. He knocks a little louder, there's no answer. He bangs on the door, there's no answer. And finally, he leaves. So afterwards, like after I thought it was the government coming after me. So I looked through the people. I said it wasn't the government. I went back to learning. You know, like but what Meshuggah was banging on my door like this. So, okay, in the middle of learning, sometimes you get so excited, you figured out a pshat and you understand it now. You want to dance. So sometimes in the middle of the Seder, he would go out and he would dance. But they saw him leave. They didn't know where he went. He used to go up into the roof and he would dance on the roof. He says, "Why are you dancing on the roof? Dance over here." He says, "You know, the mice, the people will think I'm strange. There's no mitzvah to make people think you're strange, you know." So one time the Rashiva was in the middle of Shira, and the Rashiva mentioned a kasha which had been bothering him for years. And there was a Talmud then, Moti Schneider, all of a sudden, the Talmud said a teretz to Rashiva's kasha. Rashiva stopped and he thought about it. He said, "It's richtig." He says, so he said, you know, Rashiva would have danced for such a teretz. So another Talmud, Moti's brother, Yisrael, says, "No." She said, "Richtig." He grabbed Izzy's hand and Moti's hand, and they started dancing on the shir. We figured out a shot in the teretz, it's a teretz to my kasha. Baruch Hashem, we have a teretz to my kasha. He was so happy that he figured out teretz that he danced on the shir. Now, this was tells. It wasn't like, you know, we weren't, this wasn't visionists, you know. Like, you know, this is tells. It wasn't like they were into dancing. You know, they danced, you know. But, you know. One final mice. So if you remember the Rashiva was not well. His memory was not well. And it was extremely painful for him. It was even more painful for the Talmidim to watch it, you know, the Rashiva, like, you know. And at the end he says, like, you know, I start learning an Omer Gemara. And by the time I get to the bottom of the page, I forgot what it said on top of the page. Now, this is a person who didn't know what the word shikha meant. He quoted Rabbi Yonasan from 55 years before. And once in the middle of Shiri, I asked him a kasha. He said, the Var Avram fetach the kasha. The Var Avram asked the kasha. So we already knew what that meant because the Rashiva made on Haga when he was learning in Bar Yisrael Chon, and he went through the library which was there. And he went to tell us he stopped looking at Achrona. Like the later Achron and the Yeshivas. So he hadn't seen the Dvar of Rome since 1933. This is about 1988. Dvar of Rome asked the Kasha. Like that level of remembering. And he couldn't remember top of the Omid to bottom of the Omid. You know what it meant. And he would continue, he sat and learned. He would sit and learn. And I was like, you know, one time he said, "You should know, it takes me iron determination not to fall into Yish." I believe that the chinuch that we got from that most moment was probably maybe the strongest chinuch he ever gave us. But one time he said a nusach, he says it's a matana from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Because this way my learning is fresh. I'm not relying on anything which I knew before. I'm starting fresh. And I'm trying to work it out. And the zaychah to be able to learn fresh, it's a matana from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. To be fresh in your learning, to be excited about it's the first time I'm learning this. I don't remember it from last time I learned it. I learned it hundreds of times. I don't remember it. It's the first time. V'chodesh ha'shlishi, v'yom ha'zeh, bo midbar Sinai. Because I'll say, it doesn't say, v'yom ha'hu, it's v'yom ha'zeh. Torah should be, v'enecho kechadoshim, kiil boi v'yom nitnu. Today was given to you, it's brand new today. So I'm zoicha to mekayim, that it's brand new for me this day. That's how you learn Torah. That's how you remember Torah. It's the most exciting thing. It's brand new. We just got the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This moment. It's the first time we're opening up a Chumash. It's the first time we're opening up a Gemara in anybody's life. We never saw the Gemara before in our lives. That's how exciting it is to learn. And when you learn it like that, it goes in. You learn that, it becomes part of your being. It changes you into a person who is your Ben Torah. You're described by Torah. You're defined by Torah. And that is, Rabbi Sai, what it means, true demikol koichem, lo das soichem.